James carries a real heart, a real vision, a real passion for this. And we've asked James if he'll come this week. Come on up here, James, and share a little bit more. A little bit more about our heart for reaching out into our community and how we feel that this may very well be a really key part of that. James.
Great. Thank you. I mean, first things first, I'm not speaking this morning, all right? It's important you understand that. I'm not the speaker. It is really just an opportunity for us to communicate with you. We said several months ago when we first talked to you as a congregation about the idea of us helping build a community centre in Larchfield that we would communicate to you on a regular basis. And life is very busy. It's been several months since we last talked to you about it. So this is us updating you about the Larchfield Community Project, okay? But at the same time, don't just think this is a notice. This is, I do think God will want to speak to people through this, but this is not we're opening the Bible and we're going to talk through a verse, whatever. This is hopefully you'll catch something of God's heart for people through what I have to say. We will keep communicating with you, but we thought one of the best ways of communicating with you would be to put regular updates up on the internet. So Sue Rimmer, Dave Vann have created a blog. I'm reliably told that is a website that you can go on and have a look at regular messages. I'm a complete technophobe. I don't really understand it, but I'm told it's quite easy to do and to follow. So for those of you who would be interested, I've got the blog address on a little piece of paper that we'll leave out by the coffee. So we're going to keep communicating with you all the time. But one of the funny things about this project and this initiative is that although we are really keen as a church to reach Maidenhead with the gospel, to tell people about Jesus, to see lives changed, but also at the same time to impact people in where they're at and their material needs, whilst that is absolutely fundamental to us, it's amazing actually that this project is almost being carried along by people outside the church who have got hold of it and are moving it at a pace much quicker than even I, who am involved in the working group and the steering group for this particular project, much quicker than we're ready for, okay? So you need to hear that this is beginning to take on a bit of a life because people are excited about it and it's something that the town would really like. And so much so that sometimes we might not be able to communicate with you quickly enough, but we're trying, okay? And that's the idea with the blog, that we can just put up little messages from time to time to say, we met the councillors this week, they're really keen for us to do this. We met the council officers this week. So, for example, on Monday, we are expecting to receive some plans for what the community centre could look like, all right? I'm going to roll it back in a minute so you can understand the background, but that's sort of the pace at which this can move, and it's really important that you as a congregation are with that pace, and we'll do our best to communicate. Is that okay? Okay, so rolling it back a bit for those who might need a bit of background. In 2007, River Church began exploring the possibility of purchasing a plot of land in Maidenhead to build a building. And many of you have heard about that plan. Many of you have been involved and you've heard people talk from the central leadership and locally about the fact that we put in a planning application on a building not far from here down on one of the industrial parks. And that planning application was accepted, but it was on a building we didn't own. And the people who own the building also put in a planning application, which was accepted. And it looks likely that they will build what they want to build on that site. But it was part of a journey for us as a church in building relationships with the council and exploring what it was that we wanted. Now, that building was likely to be a large warehouse-style building where we and potentially other congregations could meet on a regular basis as a church and hold events and conferences and have the church office, but potentially also do things in the community. You've got a big building like that. You could do all sorts of fantastic things in the community. And when we went to the council and presented our ideas, there was a huge amount in there about what we could do for the community with a building like that. And the councillors and the council were very excited about the plan. And although they said to us, you know, council planning application accepted, but it's unlikely you're going to be able to build anything on that site because you don't own it. However, we'd like to keep talking to you about the possibility of doing something in the town. And it was an interesting journey for us, because they began saying to us, we have lots of properties in Maidenhead, and we have money that we could potentially build other properties in Maidenhead, but we wouldn't probably put it where you were thinking. We wouldn't put it in an industrial estate. We would look at areas of deprivation in Maidenhead, and we would want there to be community activity in areas of deprivation. How about looking outside of that industrial park to another area in Maidenhead? And as a result of some of those conversations that took place with Sid and with Matt and a variety of other people, we were invited to think about the possibility of building something on the Larchfield estate. Now, for those of you who don't know where Larchfield is, it's quite an easy description, really, for, I mean, we're in it at the moment, actually, but it's quite easy to define. So it's sort of that way. And if you imagine a triangle created by Schopenhanger's Road, the railway, and the A404, that effectively creates this triangle within which is the Larchfield estate. So it literally is off the back here, and there are about 3,500 people live there. And we were being encouraged, how about look there? There isn't a community centre there. There's not a church there. There was a church a few years ago. It was burnt down. There's not even a pub there anymore. It's turned into flats. There's not a working men's club. There's nothing. There is a residents association, which is a relatively small affair at the moment. We met the lady who runs the residents association recently, and it's effectively her and her sister putting on events from time to time to raise money to build a community centre. And the sort of events they do raise 10, 15 pounds, and over 6 years she's got about 600, 700 pounds. But she, when she wants to put on events such as a bingo night, the only place that she can organise an event is in the changing rooms for the football. Okay? Now I've been in football changing rooms for a long time, and they're not great places to do bingo nights. There's no light. They smell of men and mud everywhere. And yet they're planning a bingo night to raise money for the community centre, sat on the benches where the following day the lads will all be changing for the football. There isn't anywhere in that estate for people to get together. If you wanted a 50th birthday party, there's nowhere to go in that estate. There's nothing for people to do, nowhere for people to go for a mother and toddlers group. There's nowhere to go if you wanted to, I don't know, just have something for the community, you know, a drop-in clinic or something that would have an impact for people who live. Now, if you think about where you live, have a think about the community provision that you make the most of in the area that you live, whether it's schools or nurseries or other provision. It is essential. It's that glue that holds the community together. So we were being invited to think about that. And since then, we've been working with the local ward councillors. We've been meeting with the council officers. We've been talking to the residents association and consulting with people in this congregation who know a lot about community provision. So Lucy Pettit, for example, who chairs the Bridge Trust that runs the Recharge Cafe, who has a number of years of experience in this, has been helping us with the project. Now, what do I know about community provision? I'm a solicitor for a bank. I am a person, so I'm part of a community. I have children, so I understand what they need. But we've been consulting with other people who get it. Now, what I have is a passion and a belief that the church can reach the community with the good news of Jesus in a number of ways. And I've done it when I left school before I went to university and did law. I had a year as a youth worker in South London. And I worked as a community worker in South London. And I've seen the impact the church can have when it recognises that it has a message of Jesus that is really powerful, that changes lives, but that actually standing in a church building like this and talking about Jesus isn't enough to change the lives of our community. You know that, right? And so that church that I was a part of would run mother and toddler groups, it would run youth clubs, it would run all sorts of events. And it was expressly because they recognized the truth of what Jesus said, in that when you go out and feed the hungry and you clothe the naked, then you're doing that in worship of me. You understand that? That it's just as important to go out and be a blessing because the Lord has blessed us as it is to bless him. You get that? So it's just as important for us to be out there meeting the needs of our community as it is for the Lord to be meeting our needs, for us to be worshipping. Just hear me right. There's a place for all of these. It's not one or the other. It's a combination. And it's that blend, it's that combination that's so powerful that we as a church have been exploring over a number of years. And for those of you who have been part of the congregation for a while will have known that when Ian took on the congregation a couple of years ago, the message he had was it's about the people of Maidenhead. And it's about meeting their needs. So we're on this journey. And as I said, it's sometimes moving quite fast. So much so that we've got the council saying to us, what would you like in your community centre? What does it look like? Because we'd like to put a plan together. We'd like, and at the time when they said that, I said, come on, that's far too fast. We're not even entirely sure 2 or 3 months ago what our objectives are. Okay. We are now, and there's a document that I'll talk to you about in a moment. But at the time, we're not really sure what it is, but they were saying, come on, we just need to get some ideas, draw up a plan so we can know how much this project will cost. Will it cost less than $1 million, more than $1 million? What's the cost? So Linda, where's Linda? Linda Crewe, who has done a huge amount of work on this, put together a shopping list of things that we would like to see in the community in a community centre based on research she'd done in other community centres such as Woodlands Park, based on conversations, Linda used to work at Recharge, and based on her knowledge of what works in the town and what gaps there are, based on the National Statistics Office information about deprivation in that area, what we need for education, what we need for community provision, what we need for education and training, and put together a shopping list. And off the back of that shopping list, we expect to see some plans in the next few days that will also help us begin to think, how much is this going to cost us? Okay. But at the same time as that is all going on, we are thinking, well, why do we want a community centre after all? Because last time I spoke on a Sunday morning, we talked about the community centre. Even though, and I'm not saying I'm always 100% clear, but I think some people heard things that I didn't say and started thinking through what the community centre might be for. And when we met up to pray in Desborough Park, which is a lovely park in the middle of Larchfield, where we're looking potentially to put the community centre, people came that Sunday afternoon to pray, and a few people thought that was where we, as a congregation, were going to relocate to. Okay? So one of the reasons we're talking now is to be really clear what our current thinking is for the objectives of the community centre and just get rid of some myths that might not be true, okay? So the first myth is that we are building a building so we can relocate from Desborough and meet as a congregation. So the reason it's a myth is because we are not looking to build a church just for us to meet in. We might meet in there, but anything we build is likely to be too small for us as a congregation as we desire to grow to meet in. But we might meet in there from time to time. And again, that's part of this journey we're on in terms of what is church and what does it look like. So, for example, if you only think about church in this building rather than what it could be to have a church or church built in that community, then you could start getting confused about what the building's for. Okay, so there may be some space for us to meet and worship. There might be a space for us to pray, but that isn't the ultimate goal. Okay, is that understood? So we met together a few weeks ago as a handful of us who are thinking about this project. And even amongst us, there was a lack of clarity on what we were wanting to do. But I'm pleased to say we now have a document that sets out our vision, sets out the principles behind what we're doing and our objectives. And that document will be available on the blog that you can go on and have a look at. So it's available to all of you. And it's really important to be understood that this is a project that has to be owned by the congregation. It's not going to be owned by the Central River Church team or any of the other congregations. This is going to be owned by this congregation. And I'm not going to be able to do it on my own. Linda and I aren't going to be able to do it on our own. Linda, myself, and the small group of people we've got together to build it aren't going to be able to do it on our own. Every single one of us has to be behind this in some way, because it's a big project, but it's also about turning this congregation inside out so that we can really impact the town. So it isn't about the building. Again, it's really important to hear, and I just want to read one of our objectives. Irrespective of whether a community centre is built, we want to establish church, not a church. Again, we're not saying we're going to move the congregation over there. We want to establish church, God's people, in the Larchfield estate. At this early stage, we're not planning a church plant in Larchfield, but we would like to give the entire congregation a focus and over time develop what it means to be church on the estate, to have an alpha course on the estate, see services potentially in the local school or in the community centre, to prayer walk, to have a holiday club, for people to move onto the estate and be salt and light in that place. And the community centre will help us to host meetings and make connections in the community based on a long-term commitment to that place. And it's interesting, I had forgotten about this, but when we were talking as a leadership team recently, Colin said, you know, really excited about the vision, really excited that this is a place that we could potentially do some stuff, because he reminded me about 5 or 6 years ago, the football team, River Church football team, went down to play the last game of the season in Desborough Park. And Colin and a whole host of you guys came down to watch the game, and we were walking around the park. And I just started saying to Colin at the time, Colin, I really see us as a church having a connection with this park. And at the time, it was the first time we'd ever played football there. I don't think we've ever played since. But there was something about, there was, you know, I'm not going to over-spiritualize this. It's a lovely park where naturally we could do some stuff. But there was something about that where I was saying, I can see us running events in this park that will attract people. And I'd completely forgotten about that. And Colin reminded me. And many of you have been down to that park. Put your hands up if you've been down to Desborough Park, either since we've talked about it or you do know where it is. And okay, a lot of you do know. And a lot of people have been there can see, they can really grasp this and get excited about this. So let me just unwrap some of the principles behind what we would be looking to do, because I don't know yet whether we will build a community centre. We're going to work towards it. We've laid a principle down that we don't want as a congregation to pay for it, in terms of it could be £1.6 million worth of cost. We as a congregation are not committing to raise £1.6 million to build a community centre, not least because we don't own the land again. So the council, who are very enthusiastic about it, have already committed some money towards it, somewhere between 50 and 70%. They've already identified some money that could go towards that. But we as a steering committee are not saying, oh, we'll find the other 30% from congregation. We really feel that actually, if there's going to be a community centre built, we would love to pursue a vision whereby the council pays close to 100%. And that's the model we had at Woodlands Park. So that was built by the council on council land and then given to the local parish council to run for 30 years on a fairly decent rent. And that's the model that we'd be looking for. So just to be clear, whilst there is going to need to be ownership from you as a congregation, and therefore there is going to be responsibility at some stage, we're not looking for you to have a, you know, a church roof thermometer fund where we do collections every week and we say, you know, we now have £4,000 towards the 150 we need to find. That's not my goal for this, although just hear me right, there may be a time when you as a congregation might need to pay towards what we feel God is calling us to do and deliver in that place. And we're looking to be more than just service providers. One of our principles, you know, I've taken a lot of this from some material that Dave Vann put together for this paper that will be on the blog. But, you know, reading from some of the stuff that Dave had written, we owe the Larchfield estate an encounter with the living God, not just service with a smile. To that end, we're looking for a freedom to express our faith through evangelistic conversations, prayer for healing, sharing and reading of God's word as well through the provision of services, activities done in a way that leaves no doubt that we are Christians. We're in the business of a whole life ministry. We believe in God who cares for his people and longs to meet their needs, spiritually, materially, emotionally and physically. With that in mind, we want our presence on the Larchfield estate to be more than just single focus, i.e. we only preach the gospel and get them saved, or we only show them God's love through acts of kindness. We want to come alongside people and be involved in their lives, ministering to them from whatever wells God has given us. I just want to mention a couple of things there. I went to the park this morning to have a quick pray before I came on. And the story that God dropped into my mind was the story when Jesus went to the well on his way back to Galilee, and he passed through Samaria, and he went to the well, and he was thirsty after a long journey, and he met a Samaritan woman, and he said to the Samaritan woman, "Will you draw me some water?" And we haven't got time to go into all the great things that are in that story, but what God felt, what God dropped into my mind was the verses when Jesus then went on to talk to the lady about what he had to offer her. And he said to her, effectively, James paraphrased version, "Whilst this water is going to be really useful for me now because I'm thirsty, what you need and what we all need is living water that changes lives." And I felt Jesus saying to me that the journey that he's taking us from is in this project is from water, H2O, that we need to sustain us, to living water. And so when we put on provision in that centre, or other people put on provision in that centre, because we're not going to be the only people who do service provision through the community centre, we will be taking people on a journey from giving them things they need in that community centre to meet an encounter with Jesus and that living water that changes lives. Can people get excited by that? Is that something you can see? So, you know, Annie, for example, she's volunteered to pull together a host of people to pray for this project, because we're going to need prayer as we go on this journey. But one of the things that she's really excited about at the moment is the possibility that if we had this centre, not only could we, you know, open it up to the community and allow them to run their scout events or to run, you know, badminton or whatever it is the community wants. But also we as a church could choose certain parts of a week where we're going to book that community centre out and we're going to run events ourselves. And the one that Annie's really excited about that comes back to this story about Jesus and the woman at the well is about running potentially a wellness centre. Okay. And by wellness, Annie could do a much better job, but we're running out of time, I'm afraid. But what I hear when she talks about that is effectively thinking about people's physical and spiritual well-being and running events where we're saying that Jesus can help meet your needs in that area. So whether it's a prayer cafe where we advertise and say, you can come in and we'll just pray for you for healing, for whatever it is. And I get excited about that on the basis that I know the thirst that this country has for anything spiritual. You know, the number of psychic fairs you see in village halls, and there was one in Marlow the other day, and there was people queuing outside the door to go in and have their palms read or whatever it is in those places. For us to be able to put something on would be so exciting. And I know a few of you have talked about that. But I guess that comes back to, well, why can't we do that now? I mean, the people are there. Why don't we just put on an event here? And the answer is, absolutely, we could do that. But we've been thinking about the journey that we will be on to build that community centre will actually mean that you as a congregation have invested something in that, but also there will be something about our commitment to that, to the community, in that we are doing something that at their current rate, over 6 years, they've raised £600-700. They're not going to get there very quickly. But we as a church have got the ability, we've got resources, we've got enthusiasm, we've got energy, and we've got a God who has given us a commission to go out and reach Maidenhead with the gospel. And if that means you start with putting giving people the service that they need, then that is very powerful in this town. Because I've been involved in River Church for over 20 years. I've been part of teams that walk into parks to pray for people and offer to pray for people and tell them the gospel. I've been part of teams that go out in high streets and do dramas to then preach off the back of it. I've been part of more meetings like this than I ever care to remember. Okay. And I know that all those are important, but there is a piece of it that we as a church really need to get hold of in terms of providing a service where we don't necessarily have an agenda in terms of this is about, you know, the one dimensional, we are worshiping God today or we are doing an evangelistic event. But it is saying we have a commitment to our community. And that's the same integrity that goes to the relationships you have to your next door neighbor. It's got that same integrity that says that, you know, I am here to be Jesus for you, and whatever that looks like, I don't know yet. And so, I think I'd like to stop because we've had a couple of minutes. Good. This, you know, just encourage you to go back to this paper, because from what I've said today, you'll all have probably more questions than you did at the beginning, and we want to make space for those questions, and we want to make space for people to really get hold of this so they're with us on the journey. So this paper helps, and it's encouraging for us that we put this paper together maybe 6-8 weeks ago. And Dave, when he wrote part of the paper, he put in the vision, of the verse from Revelation 21 that Al was talking about last week. And we put that in our vision section, that our vision for the Larchville Estate is that God's kingdom, his rule, his culture, his way of doing things would break into the everyday lives of people living there, and can be summed up in these, in the verse Revelation 21:3-5 from the Message. Look, God has moved into the neighborhood, making his home with men and women. They're his people. He's their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. Death is gone for good. Tears gone, crying gone, pain gone. All the first order of things gone. That's our vision. The paper helps you understand what it looks like. And when we got together, a few weeks ago as a steering committee, we were still struggling with what it looks like. So I don't expect everyone to get it straight away. Because at the one end of the spectrum, you've got the traditional church model where you build a church, it's got a steeple, the church meets in there on a Sunday morning, but you can run some community activities there. We've all seen that. There are lots of churches like that in Maidenhead, and it's a great model. It's a great model because people want to get married there, and when they want to get married there, they meet with the vicar, and the vicar talks to them about what God thinks about marriage and the importance of marriage. And those buildings are great on so many levels because people identify God with the building and the service provision in that building. The other end of the spectrum, you've got a building like this. It's not a church-owned building, but we use it to worship God, and we could use it for events. Okay, so you've got the two ends of the spectrum. You've got something that's owned by the church, paid for by the church, and we run events in there. And in a way, you know, looking at Terry and thinking about the work of that's been done in the Marlow Road Baptist building, now Jubilee, that Terry was involved in for many years, much closer to that first model where it's a church-owned building, but they bless the community in that church-owned building. And We are somewhere in the middle in that spectrum, okay? Because it isn't about the building and the upkeep of the building. You've got to hear me right. That's a big undertaking. So our vision would be to help the community to build a building, and over a course of years to hand that building over and give it back to the community. And different people will have different views on that. And we're on a journey, so I'll be interested in people's views over time. But our vision would be to build something, to bless the community with it and give it back. And there's something exciting. If I go back to right at the beginning, I talked about the background that we, for a number of years, have been looking to build a building for River Church to meet as a congregation and a big conference centre, and it's, you know, 500 seaters, et cetera, et cetera. And we've never been able to achieve that over the number of years we've looked at it. And yet God is calling us potentially to build something and then give it away. And that takes a while to get your head around. I thought we wanted a building. Well, actually, if we want that longer term vision of having a big conference center, maybe there is something in God's topsy-turvy kingdom about building something, giving it to the community to then see where we go on this longer term journey with that other building. Do people understand that? Okay. So I'll encourage you to go back to this document. We'll print out copies of it, and it'll be available on the coffee rotor from time to time. Keep going back to the blog. If you want to scribble down the blog address now, the blog address is larchfield.wordpress.com. No www. It's just larchfield.wordpress.com, and we'll put those there. And that's going to just give you regular updates on what we're doing. And you have an opportunity to go on there and post questions to us, and we can put answers on there. This is all part of the journey. But I'd just like to finish just quickly making sure that we're clear on the objectives again. And then Annie's going to come and talk about prayer. And then we're going to do communion together. And Linda has been thinking about communion in the context of Larchfield and has got a message on that. So just quickly, very clear about the objectives. So to use the project to help us as a congregation understand and develop our role at the hub of the community, to provide a focus in a defined area of deprivation, for the church to listen, serve, bring good news and social transformation, to change the public perception of the church and to demonstrate that Jesus is love, to serve and empower the community by working in partnership with the community, local churches, councillors, to build and manage a community centre in Desborough Park, to manage the community centre as a service for the community to ensure the provision of essential activities for young people and adults, such as after-school clubs, youth clubs, health, fitness and wellbeing, to establish a focal point for the community and to use the community for some church activities, possibly Sunday mornings, possibly prayer meetings, possibly a prayer cafe and possibly a wellness centre. Can people get hold of that vision? Is it something you could potentially get excited about? Now, hopefully you're a bit further on than you were at the beginning, but if you've got questions, we had talked about using this morning as an opportunity to ask questions. I don't think it's right to do so, looking at the time. I'd like us to talk about prayer for a minute and then do the communion table. But you can all contact me through that blog or just grab me and ask questions. This is us. It isn't about any individual delivering this, because if it is, we're not going to be able to do it. And one final thing, which is really important, and I can't believe I forgot it. This summer, we're going to plan an event in the Desborough Park. We're going to put a marquee up on the spot that the council thinks is the place that they will build the community centre with us. And we will run events over the course of that weekend. Friday night, a youth event. Saturday, all day, something like a football tournament. Saturday night, a party with an auction to raise money for the community centre and to raise money for other charities in the area. Sunday morning to meet as a church, and Sunday afternoon to meet together, just have a picnic and have a family fun day. Could you get excited about that? So last year, at the end of last year, we did the event on the high street, and a lot of you turned out. Over 50 people were involved in that in some way or another. And a lot of people we weren't able to be there, but a lot of people have said to us that was one of the best things we've done. And it was really simple. And what we're talking about, this weekend of activities, it will be really simple. But people will know that River Church is making a commitment to that estate. People will begin to visualize what it will be to have a building on there, because they can see the marquee with events. And we will have an opportunity to meet and to pray and to bless the community. So you're going to hear more about that. We'll need probably, I've drawn up a list of 100 things that need doing to make it happen. And I've only got 4 names in them, and that's me and Annie. So we need a lot of help to make that happen. So I think it would be really good. You don't have to say yet. The date is going to be announced shortly. We were looking at the second weekend of June, but that's the weekend of the Maidenhead Carnival. So we obviously don't want to clash with the biggest community event in Maidenhead. It's more likely to be last weekend of June, first weekend of July, to be confirmed. Is that okay? Good. Annie.
Okay, now James wasn't able to say that because he's obviously sort of leading this through, but can't you see God's in this? It's like God is in this. It's really exciting. And as somebody who fights very hard for time with James because of his busy work and, you know, leadership team and now Larchfield. It's been quite important for me to know that God is in this. And God kept me awake in the middle of the night, which I was very cross about at the time because I spend enough time awake in the middle of the night at the moment with Thomas. But it was talking to me about prayer and particularly about praying for Larchfield. And so that week I rang Jan and said, oh, I've got this sort of thing. I think I need to get people together to pray. And she said, oh yes, God told me that this morning. Like, all right then. Not quite like that. She didn't say it like that, but it was such a confirmation to both of us. You know, God talking to Jan and God talking to me about the same thing. So I'm going to get people together to pray, initially at my house, and then we will set out places to go and prayer walk. But it's going to be on a Wednesday lunchtime. I know that's not going to fit with everybody, but it will fit with some. So we'll start with that and then we'll find other spaces to pray where other people can fit into as well. So it's going to be a Wednesday lunchtime at 12:05 at my house, which I'll put it up on the, find a way of putting it up on the website so that people can get hold of that. But if you want to come, please come. There's no, like, it's not only if you feel you can pray. I am not as yet a prayer warrior, although I am obeying God in this, what he's asking me to do. But if you just want to come and support, this could be your way of supporting, then please come. And we'll pray, and it'll be like 40 minutes, maybe an hour. And then I'll have to go and pick up Thomas. So it will, you know, it's not going to be taking up your whole day. But if you can come, I know that there's some people that's going to try and come in their lunch hour and bring their sandwiches. If that works for you, if you work in Maidenhead, then do that and come. And we're going to give out, Tina's put together some prayer points for you to have at home, because obviously praying once a week is not enough. We need to be praying at home and getting this into our prayer life and begin to own it and let God start speak to you about it. So James, can you just divide them up as much as you can? And I do need one, because we're asking you to pray for wisdom, both for the steering committee, everybody involved basically. I'll just very quickly, I won't read them all out. For favour with the council, continued favour, it's already there. For the Christians who are on the estate already, we don't know who they are, we don't know their names, but we know they're there. And to pray for them, that God will begin stirring their hearts and strengthening them. To pray for us as a congregation, that God would begin to speak to us. It was really important, God speaking to me in the night, the other night, just because I was able to then stand with James and know, yeah, this is what God is calling us into. And you know, and us together, which is a real encouragement for me. But let God do that to you. Where is your part? Where's your part to play? How can you get involved? And particularly for the June events. We're not going to give up on giving events, doing events. We had quite a big obstacle for the Christmas event within James and our own life and our family. But the event went on and Thomas recovered. And we're not going to let things like that get in the way, fear of things like that happening. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray for the teams. We're going to cover people with prayer, and we're going to go after this, because what God is asking us to do, all he asks us to do is obey. And so that's what we're going to do. But we are going to cover it in prayer. And I think that's probably why he's asked me, because I really think we need to do it. You know, I know we need to cover it in prayer. We need God at the centre of this. And I've talked for too long. Sorry.
Thank you, that's excellent.
Thanks very much, guys, that was amazing. I hope you can all get behind that. Right at the beginning, when Colin took over leadership, he read these scriptures from Isaiah, and I've just put River Church in. Oh, River Church, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. Oh, River Church, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the city of Maidenhead, behold your God. And that's our mission. That's what we're hoping to do. That's what we're hoping to do. And just by way of a little encouragement this morning, Rachel Barnes brought a school friend to the meeting, and she lives in Larchfield. So there you go.